three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner, when thou wast his butler. And then Joseph asked the butler to do one thing for him. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Go down to verse number 18. We see the baker's dream interpreted. He thought he'd have good news like the butler had, but it wasn't good news for the baker. It would be that he would be put to death. And we see in verse number 21 that the butler is restored, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Then we see that he hanged the chief butler as Joseph had interpreted to them. And then in verse number 23, a sad note to leave off from, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph. He forgot him. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we have a story of a time of great famine and drought. Verse number 17, the Bible here picks up with Elijah determining that rain's not going to come on the earth till he gives the word. At that point, God sends him to the brook Cherith. And the brook dried up, and God sent him to Zarephath in verse number 9. And the Bible says in verse 10 that he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. I want you to notice the condition of this widow woman. She said in verse number 12, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 7, verse number 3. The Bible tells of 4 leprous men. You know, to be a leper is a sentence of death. Not only a sentence of death, but a life of torment and pain as an outcast. 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? We say we will enter into the city. The famine's in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And then one more for sake of continuing the thought in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. The Bible says, and we know that God used John the disciple, John the beloved disciple. Here we see his testimony as he begins to introduce himself. Verse 9, I, John, I'm in verse 9 of chapter 1, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What do all of these stories have in common? No doubt many more in the Bible. But what do they have in common? These are those with a testimony of apparent hopelessness and despair. Joseph, locked in a prison and forgotten. The widow, who had spent her life serving her husband before he died, serving the Lord, is now planning a final meal before her and her child dies. These leprous men had nothing but bad options to choose from, and all three of them included death. And then there's that great high-profile servant of God, that disciple that declared himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, the beloved one who was given charge of Jesus' mother as he hung on the cross, now resides in banishment after great torture, persecution, left to die on an island called Patmos. Never one of these examples, they were a part of God's perfect plan. Every one of them. And every instance that I read to you this morning, as despairingly as they appeared, as hopelessness as they appeared, in every one of them, they were an integral part of God's perfect plan. By the way, so are the trials of your life. So are the trials of your life. You ever think about this? You ever think about this truth that what if they, in any case, what if they would have quit? See, these are also representative of those who are facing horrendous trials through no fault of their own. And in fact, in all of these instances, most of these cases, they were doing everything right. Joseph was just not doing anything wrong and got himself put in prison. The widow doing her best to serve the Lord and take care of her family. Of course, we know John there in Revelation chapter number 1. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to what I believe is the similarity of these stories that to me is most appealing. And that being that though they, in all these instances, that they were being, if you will, pushed to the brink of their faith and of their trust in God through the trials they faced, through the struggles of life that they faced, through the lack that they experienced, through the persecutions that they were up against, through the discouragements and the wonder about what God is going to do in their life. In every case, every one of them, this similarity is the most appealing. In every case, they were right on the verge of a blessing. They were right on the cusp. They were right on the edge of being blessed by God. As I consider the battles that many of God's children are facing today, I wonder if they too may feel at times like these may have felt. They look at their life and they look at their circumstances and they begin to cry, no hope and no help, filled with doubt, feelings of being forgotten, discouragement, growing more and more distant in our spirit as we strive and struggle to keep our faith intact? And it seems the only option available is to simply quit or to give up or just die. Boy, hold on, child of God. Let me encourage you this morning to hold on, child of God. Hang in there. Listen, I know, as it no doubt probably seemed to these individuals we read about, I know that it may seem hopeless. I understand that it may appear helpless. And you may feel like all is vain, but don't quit. Don't quit. You too may be on the verge of a tremendous blessing of God. You too may be on the verge of a blessing from the Lord. What if Joseph would have, whenever that butler went back and he realized that he had been forgotten, what if he would have determined right then, that's it, no more. I'm not serving the Lord anymore. He has let me down so many times. He's not doing things the way that I think he ought to be doing them. And that's it. I am not going to serve the Lord any longer. What if that widow, whenever Elijah said, make me a little cake and bring it to me, what if she would have said, I don't think so. What I've got here is for me and for my child. And that's it. I'm not sharing with you. I've given to the Lord. I've done my best. And this is what it got me. And I'm not giving it to you. No way, no how. Just me and my son, we're going to eat this and we're going to die. What if those leprous men would have just stood there and said, you know, let's just sit down and die here, rather than take a chance of going and seeking mercy from the hand of the enemy? What if they would have just quit? What if John Wood, in that time of having the ability to recant his faith in Christ, in that time of being able to choose life over the torture, over the potential death, what if he would have said, that's it, I'm done, I'm not doing it any longer? And in every instance, they would have missed out on a blessing, the rich blessing of God that he had for them. Realize it wasn't but just a few years later that Joseph would be vice president in all of the land of Egypt. Realize that widow would be able to experience a great miracle of God as she, by faith, gave that cake to the man of God instead, and God performed a great miracle that they would not go hungry and they did not die. That those leprous men who went to the enemy would give themselves into the hand of the enemy would find that everybody's gone. And in the camp is a great wealth of merchandise and food to eat, and a wonderful miracle, not just for them, but for the whole city. And we would have never got to read the book of Revelation that John's fixing to receive of the Lord. Every one of them, as flesh and blood, had the option to quit and determine that I'm not and I cannot go any further. But they stayed faithful to God. And in staying faithful, they crossed over that threshold into a position to be able to receive the blessings of God. They would have missed out on the tremendous blessings that God had awaiting them. Let me ask you this. What do you think will happen if you determine to give up and quit? What do you think is going to happen when all of the planning and preparation that God has put into your life to bring you along to a place of great blessing and a place of great wealth and just the blessings of the Lord in your life? What do you think is going to happen to you if you decide to give up and quit? You too may miss the very blessings that you're on the verge of receiving. You're on the verge of receiving the blessings of God. I'm reminded in the Scriptures of 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3 through 7. Listen to these words. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 7. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He said, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed." Watch this, verse 6. wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be. And don't forget who it is that determines when things need to be. It is God. Though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. What's the purpose? That the trial of your faith, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is a work that He is trying to perform in each of our lives, and often that's going to include tribulation, and often that's going to include trials, and often that's going to challenge our faith and stretch our flesh to where things don't make sense to us. But I learned in these verses of 1 Peter chapter number 3, especially there in that last one, that there are two primary reasons for trials that we face. First of all, for your good. He said that the trying of your faith, that the trying of your faith, God is interested in your faith expanding. For your good. And then secondly, for God's glory. That it might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Neither of which make trials more comfortable. But they remind us that trials are not without great purpose. Listen, if you're doing your best to live for Jesus Christ, you've been faithful to church, you're faithful to read God's holy word, you find yourself regularly on your knees in prayer, you're exercising faith in your giving, and you're striving to be a godly witness for the Lord, and I beg you, don't quit. Don't quit. Hang in there. Hang in there. Stay the course. Because you're one who is right on the verge of receiving a blessing. Right on the verge. Right on the verge. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 9 says this, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, but what? If ye faint not." You understand in that verse that before you reap, before you receive the blessing, there's going to be a great temptation to faint? If you stay faithful, stay the course, don't give up and don't give in, go right on over through that trial, stay faithful to God, and you'll find that you will reap. You'll reap a great reward. You'll receive the blessings of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Are you steadfast in your trials? Unmovable. Are you unmovable in your trials? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do you abound in the work of the Lord in the face of your trials? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See that? We'll receive a blessing. We'll receive a reward. Well, we've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay faithful. We've got to stay faithful. Did not God tell the Israelites, and therefore you and I, that He set before them a blessing and a curse? And that their blessing was determined by their faithfulness to be obedient to Him? Child of God, God promises to bless us. But those blessings are determined upon our faithfulness to Him. Our faithfulness, and I encourage you, as these we read of this morning, stay faithful. Don't quit. As I mentioned before, stay the course. Often when you feel that you are at the very brink, and that all hope and reason has vanished away, it is then that you will want to quit. You will want to quit. I don't know if you can imagine this. I picture this, and I saw it, I witnessed it in people's lives. It's almost like this. Give me somebody I can use. Come here, Brother Chatty. I'll use you this morning. It's almost like this. Close your eyes. It's like God pushes us. And pushes us. And He knows right behind Him is that ledge. And I've seen the Lord, He stretches us this way. And right before we're going to fall off that cliff, the Lord pulls us back. But a lot of times we feel like it's here and we want to quit. We don't give God a chance to pull us back. And that's the blessings. We just give up and quit. And when we do that, we miss. You can be seated. I've watched the Lord work in people's lives, and He has them right on the very brink. And they may be at the very point where you wonder, as I wonder as a pastor, are they going to be able to handle it? I can't stop it. It's part of God's plan. Somewhere along the line, we have to realize that it's right to serve the Lord regardless of circumstances, regardless of our situation, regardless of whether we feel as if we're blessed or not. And the way we determine that, often from God's point of view, is that He constantly is pushing us to the very edge, and right when we think we can't handle more, He pulls us back. And there's where the blessing is. Learn that. Seen that. God does that. Listen, it is also true that it is at that point where we're ready to quit. It is that point where we feel like we cannot handle anymore. It is that point when all hope is lost and all reason to stay faithful is gone. It's at that point that it is a threshold for us to be able to, by faith, step over, that we'll receive the rich blessings of our loving God that await us just ahead. But to quit means you're going to miss it. You'll miss it. Don't kid yourself. There's a lot of examples in God's Word of good men who missed out. Because they didn't wait on God. I'll give you three. Abraham missed out on God's perfect will because he used human intellect and lo and behold had a child with his wife's handmaiden. And that child created problems for the nation of Israel still today. Didn't wait on God. Jumped ahead of God. How about Moses? Go speak to the rock, Moses. But in his flesh, in his frustration, he smote the rock, and it cost him the ability to go into the promised land. David wanted to build the house of God. God said, you can't do it, because he's a man of war. Now, all three of these received God's blessings in other areas of life, but in those specific areas, they missed it. They missed it. The message I want to bring you this morning is going to be in two parts. We're going to look at the anchors in our trials. Tonight, I want to look at the actions while in our trials. When I think about anchors in our trials, that is that while we are in the midst of this trial or of these particular struggles, there are some things that we should grab a hold of, to grab onto, that will keep us steady in those trials. You're going to need that. You're going to need that. Anchors. Anchors. Why? Because remember, when everything about you is swallowed up in negativity. You ever been there? Everything about your life is swallowed up in negativity. This is not going to work. That doesn't work. They did that to me. They did that to me. And everything is negative and seen as a discouragement to you. In those times, you're going to have to take hold of something that is solid, that is stable. You'll be tossed like a ship on the sea in a storm. I'll give you just a couple of things this morning. Three, I believe I've got here that'll, and it's, again, nothing new, but just to remind those of you in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your struggle. Things that will help you to be stable in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your storm. Number one, get hold of God's promises. Get hold of God's promises. 1 Peter chapter number 3, many of you know it. 1 Peter chapter number 3, you're in the midst of that struggle, you're in the midst of that trial, nothing seems to work out right. What are we going to do? All hope is lost. Get a hold of God's promises. We know 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. Amen. Let me turn over there. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance." But what I want you to focus on is God's promises. You know what? In the midst of the trial, it doesn't make sense to you. And since it doesn't make sense to you, we begin to fear that God is no longer in control. And whenever you start realizing and feeling that God's not in control, you're going to find yourself in a mess. One of the things you can grab hold of is God's promises. I think of three areas that God's promises help us. Number one, in your trial, get hold of God's promise of how much He loves you. You know, sometimes we don't love ourselves. You hear me this morning? Sometimes we don't love ourselves. We don't feel deserving. We don't feel qualified. We beat ourselves up because we're looking for a reason why things are so negative. We beat ourselves up and we drag ourselves down and we beat ourselves over the head because of the failures and the mistakes of life. But my friend, none of that changes how much God loves you. And you need to understand that God's love for you is far greater than even your love for yourself. And God's love for you is greater than the love of a spouse. And God's love for you is greater than the love of a parent. And God's love for you is stronger than the love of a child. And that He loves you dearly. The Bible tells us over and over about His love. Here in His love, not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God." God loves you. And if you can get a hold of the fact that He loves you, then you can know that God is at work bringing out His perfect will in your life. If you've convinced yourself that He does not love you and that you are not lovable, and you're going to be a mess. Not only the promise of His love for you, secondly, the promise of His power. The promise of His power. Get a hold of the promise of what God can do. We find this in the Word of God. So often we're reminded of what He can do. Remember, the Bible tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. God has the power. The trials you're facing, you need to remind yourself, God has the power to change it. But because He loves you, you can be reminded that He's trying to do a great work in my life. And you're getting a hold of those promises. I know He loves me. I know He's in charge. And then third, to get hold of the promise of His presence, that He's there with you. He's there with you. In Psalm 23, we refer to it often. There we're reminded once again, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." That God is with you. And in Hebrews we're reminded to be content with such things as we have, for it said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Remind yourself, get a hold of those promises, that He loves you, that He is still in charge, and that His presence is with you. Number two, Number two, you're going to need this when you're in those trials. Are you with me this morning? You're going to need these. You're going to have to get a hold of them. Anchors in your trials. Get a hold of those promises. Number two, get hold of a proper perspective. You got to see things right. You got to see things right. In the midst of that trial, you may not see things right. But you've got to determine ahead of time that I have to see this beyond my human physical ability to see. Get a hold of a proper perspective. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, you still with me this morning? Amen. Don't worry, I'll have you out before the roast burns, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, we know Paul had an uncanny ability. It was faith is what it was. His focus was so in line with Almighty God that he was able to go through some things that would challenge any of us and to go through them victoriously. Here the Apostle Paul will begin reading there in verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, that's our weakness right there. We have a great gift of God. The problem is it's in earthen vessels. It's in our flesh. All right, so he's having to remind himself of some things. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God, that power may be of God and not of us. Notice this, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, notice this vision, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That work going on by the Lord in our bodies. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh. Notice that. We're always delivered unto death for the purpose of God Almighty. For His purpose. So then, verse 12, death worketh in us, but what? Life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Notice that. We faint not. We faint not. We faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What am I talking about? A right perspective. For our light affliction, notice that. Can you look at the trials and the struggles that you're facing and look at them as a light affliction? Say, I can't, preacher. Well, that's the goal that the Lord has for you. It's to be so in tune with God that the things that are hindering your spiritual walk would be seen as a light affliction. That's not going to happen without a proper perspective. You've got to see beyond the physical sight. Then the Bible says a light affliction for a moment. He said, which is but for a moment. You're not going to be able to see that without a right perception and perspective. Working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Notice that focus. Not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, that the things which are seen may, things that which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Get a hold of a proper perspective. Paul had in his arsenal of faith a spiritual perception, and that perception gave him strength, gave him the ability to not only endure, but to do so with the joy of the Lord in his heart. How about that? How about that? See, right now, we're struggling just to endure our trials when the example of Scripture is given to us is to not just endure them, but to do it with the joy of the Lord. Trials. We learn in this passage here that trials may be on me. As Paul said here, that it's in his flesh. We which are live are always delivered unto death. The trials may be on me. But secondly, trials are not always about me. How about that this morning? The trial may be on you, but it may not always be about you. How about us? I'm just an example. How about just staying faithful in trial so others can witness that and you become a godly example for them to follow? But if we throw up our hands and we just quit, now what kind of example are we? The trials may be on me, Paul said here. We're troubled, we're distressed, we're persecuted, we're always bearing about in the body of the dying Lord Jesus. The trials may be on you, but they may not be about you. Because we see that it is about God's power shining through you. And it is about souls being affected as a result of your testimony. Amen. He said, knowing in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things, what things? All the trials that he goes through. All the hardships that he was facing. For all things are for your sakes. For the sake of others. Praise God that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Trials may be on you, but trials may not be about you. And then thirdly, I want God's desires that our trials would bring glory to God. For our light affliction, which is but verse 15, we end there, that it would redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not? Why? The cause that we want our lives to glorify God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Get a hold. Not only get hold of God's promises, but get a hold of a proper perspective. Thirdly, get a hold of the fact that God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And that requires faith. You must believe by faith that the trial you are facing, it is not without purpose. Can you believe that this morning? The trial you're facing, it is not without purpose. Joseph, we read it. He didn't know. Put yourself in Joseph's place. He did not know what God had in store. But he did know God had a purpose. And he did know that God's purpose included him. Think about that widow who could have quit. Bring me therefore a little cake first. She knew and had learned that God has a purpose. Those four leprous men, who would have known that God would use them in such a great and a mighty way? They were a part of God's purpose. And of course, John, there on the Isle of Patmos, he wasn't there vacationing. He was there because of persecution. Get a hold of God's purposes. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, 1 Peter chapter number 4, there in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Bible says there, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Get a hold of the fact that God has a purpose for your trials. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Child of God, I beg you today, don't give in to your flesh. Don't quit. Set a course for God. Determined to be faithful, determined to stay on that course, regardless of everything around you that may be screaming to give up and to quit and to walk away. Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter number 10 that we call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. And he goes on to say that you have need of patience. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. See, God wants to bless us, every one of us. And the blessings do await us. But I wonder how many of God's children have found themselves in a time of trial. And before they could get across that threshold to receive the blessings, they were right on the verge of it. We read it in the Bible. They didn't know when it was. But we read that immediately after these events, God blessed them when they could have quit. And child of God, I don't want to see you miss out on God's blessings. But I know the temptation is going to be there to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because it's in those times when you think you just can't do it anymore, you are right on the verge of God's blessings. Right on the verge. Right on the verge. Remember, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Why don't we determine this morning the simple truth? God is worthy. His word is true. We're going to serve Him. And then we'll be in line, we'll be in place for those blessings when they come to us. We're going to all go through trials. God's going to lead us into many of them to exercise our faith. Show us where we are. You can overcome, and I want you to do just that. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the examples of these people. Without a doubt, they were facing it. Oh, I mean, it was hot. I mean to tell you, they couldn't understand what you were doing. Lord, they were ready to die. Father, seemed all hope was gone. It seemed that a life of serving the Lord was in vain.